Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I began yesterday. I've entitled The Glory Restored. And as we laid an introduction on yesterday's broadcast, what was the purpose of man? God created man in the beginning, Adam and Eve, so he could have fellowship with them. He wanted a family, sons and daughters, and that has always been his purpose. It has never changed from the beginning through the ages of eternity that stretch before us. God has never changed in his purpose or desire. And they had perfect fellowship with God, Adam and Eve, until sin entered. By their willful choice, they disobeyed the command of God. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God didn't want them to do. And we've been eating the bitter fruit of that choice in the ages since that time. God didn't want us to know the pain and suffering of evil, but we chose. So at any rate, God was not going to leave man in that severed state from fellowship with him. He sent Jesus to redeem us so that we could be born again in our spirit man. That which was dead, the unsaved, our spirit, the natural man doesn't understand anything about the spiritual realities. And when we're saved, we then begin to understand things that were previously hid from our heart because we are a new creature. We are born again. Things we didn't understand, that understanding and knowledge and wisdom comes walking with the Spirit of the Lord. That was always his desire. And so we've laid the foundation that God wants fellowship with man, but sin severed that perfect relationship. But God promised to Adam and Eve that he was going to send a Savior. He was speaking about the seed of a woman. He was speaking of Jesus, centuries yet in the future. But God said, nonetheless, at the fullness of time, he would send Jesus, which is Emmanuel, God with us. But in God's early dealings with man, after Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, and they began to till the soil, and they began to populate the earth, he said, increase and be fruitful and multiply. That was God's demand and request that his earth could be filled. And so that's the only thing we've ever really followed properly, as we've learned how to propagate the race. But in God's early dealings with man, he continued a desire to fellowship with them. But that fellowship was not like the actual presence of God where Adam and Eve walk with God. But he did speak sovereignly to the holy men of old. There was communication. And under the old covenant, that it says that the Holy Spirit would come upon kings, priests, and prophets. They would deliver the word of the Lord. They would deliver the heart of God, the things God wanted to communicate to his people. And as far as the patriarchs are concerned, Abraham was the father of the faithful. He was our first patriarch, if you will. God chose him and brought him out of the land, the city of Ur, and said that as many as the stars of the sky, so would his children be, his descendants. And so it says in Genesis 12 and 7 that the Lord appeared unto Abraham. It was the first theophany, if you will. That's a spiritual term for God's actual appearance. And God did that occasionally through the Old Testament. Remember, God spoke specifically to the boy Samuel when he was being brought up in the temple, and he went to Eli, and he heard God speaking. He thought Eli had called him, and no, he said, whatever the Lord says to you, say, your servant hears. And then, of course, in Job said in 42 and 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. So God is a spirit. He only became flesh through the precious Son of God. Jesus became flesh, took upon human nature, a physical body just like ours, so that he could not only fellowship with man that he had made, but redeem us, because there had to be, man had to suffer and die. That was a consequence. That's what God said in the beginning. If you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And of course they did, but Jesus, in his willingness to suffer and die on the cross of Calvary for the sins of all mankind, from the beginning to the last child that is born, he is our Savior. That we come to the Father in no other way but through the blood of Jesus Christ, his precious blood, which cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And so God is a spirit, isn't that right? But he would manifest himself sometimes in like a physical presence, the theophany. The angel, it says the angel of the Lord, which is generally understood to be the pre-incarnate Christ. And also, remember at Mount Sinai, it was Exodus 19, that I won't take the time to turn, but Moses was getting the law. He was going up into Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments and the things God was giving to his people by way of guidance and instruction in holy living and in serving him. And it says that Mount Sinai, what a spectacular display. I mean, there was darkness and thunder and lightnings and smoke and earthquake and the sound of trumpets. And the children of Israel, they had drawn close to the mountain, and when they heard all that, they just backed away, and they were terrified when they heard and saw just the demonstration of the presence of God. And that's Moses went up into the mountain in the midst of all that, into the darkness. And they said, they pleaded with him, please, you go and get God's instructions for us, and we'll listen and obey, but we don't want to die, because this terrifying presence, manifestation of the presence of God, was terrifying for them. And so God was pleased with that, and that's exactly what happened. And then shortly thereafter, in Exodus 24, God still wanted to fellowship with his people. And so what he did, it says that there were 70 elders of Israel, and they went up in Mount Sinai. And it says they ate in God's presence, 70 of them. And they were not harmed. They were actually in the presence of God, and they did not die. So we see God's tenderness, his love. He just wants to be with his people. He wants to be acknowledged that he's real and his love is real, and he wants to fellowship and interact in their lives. And we see God's continued dealings with his chosen people, Israel. Remember Egypt, and they were brought out of Egypt with signs and wonders, and when they wandered in the wilderness, there was the physical manifestation, because they were able to relate to that. There was a pillar of fire at night, or of the cloud of his presence by day, and that was how they were directed. If the cloud moved, then they moved. If it stayed stationary, they stayed right there. And so God used the physical, but he began to change and work in a new direction. We hear about Elijah the prophet. Remember, he was on the mountain, and God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I'm the only one that's serving you in all of Israel. And God reminded him, no, he had 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. And God did a demonstration for Elijah. I mean, there was thunderings, there was earthquake, there were all kinds of physical manifestations, but God wasn't in any of that. No, it says God's new direction, he spoke to Elijah after all that visual display and the sound and the thunder. He spoke by a still, small voice. You see, if you're really friends with someone, you don't have to shout at them. And sometimes really close relationships like a husband and wife, sometimes you actually, you've probably had this experience, sometimes with a really good friend, you know what they're thinking before they say it. So that was God's heart, his early dealings with man. And we know in the wilderness, there was the actual glory of God was tented, if you will, in the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the showbread, Aaron's rod that budded, and the actual testimony of the tablets of stone that Moses had received from the Lord. Well, the second set that he had to make, because he got angry when he saw what God's people had done, and he just broke the tablets, and then God said, okay, we're going to do this again, but you're going to get the stone yourself. And then, so God's presence was always manifest. He desired to show his presence. He used physical means to do that, because we were like children, the human race was. And then, we recall as the history of Israel goes on in 1 Samuel 4:21, it says, Phinehas's wife gave birth, and she named the child Ichabod. Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant, which housed the very presence of God, the actual glory of God, was in that Ark of the Covenant. The high priest could only once a year into that special place, offering with blood, and that's where God's Shekinah glory dwelt. And she said, because the Philistines took off with the ark, that the glory is departed from Israel. Well, beloved, we're continuing to move on in the history of how God has dealt with mankind and his heart's desire for fellowship with us, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me, and if you have prayer needs, I do invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. If you email, I will definitely pray and confirm receipt, but if you'd like a personal response, include your mailing address so I can send to you whatever God would bless your heart with. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.